Psalm 144. And I just want to reinforce some of the things that have been said this morning, some of the things that have been prayed this morning. And I want to just entitle this little talk. I lied, it could be longer. No. This little talk, He trains my hands for war. Trains my hands for war. Verse 1, one verse only. Blessed be the Lord, my rock. Rock. That means stable, unmovable. Someone you can depend on. We call them a rock. God refers to Himself as a rock, unmovable, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. You know, I thought about this verse and I thought, what's the difference between hands for war and fingers for battle? And you know what came back to me was, there's a different grip for a different weapon. The fingers are important in the grip. And God has given us so many weapons that we need to know how to use them. There's so many things that God has given to us, weapons of our warfare, not a physical warfare, but a spiritual warfare. And there are different weapons, and we need to know how to use them effectively. Effectively. You say, what war are you talking about? The war between good and evil. And that war has intensified, in case you haven't noticed. That war between good and evil has intensified. And the blurred lines between who is good and who is evil are evaporating. So we need battle-hardened warriors of righteousness. That's what we need in the church in this hour. Again, not to fight a physical battle, but a spiritual one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not fighting people. We're fighting what is behind these movements to destroy and to dismantle the truth of God's word from our country, from our nation. Behind the people are spiritual forces of wickedness. We have to realize that. We fight and wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And you know what Satan's target is? I'm going to tell you who Satan is after. And I want you to know it's not me. He's not after me. And he's not after most of the people in this room. But he's after our children. He's after every teenager. He's after every young adult. You say, well, that's craziness. Well, if it isn't the truth, then this church would be filled this morning with young people. Your children, your grandchildren would be here. friends here, have everyone. You know, I'm not that concerned about you. I'll be honest with you, I'm not really. I don't go to sleep at night thinking about you. I'm thinking about your children. That's where my concern is this morning. And the enemy is attacking every child, every teenager, and every young adult. And you know what he's doing? He's preparing their minds for the entrance of the Antichrist. That's right. He's preparing these young minds to receive direction from the Antichrist himself, who is about to unveil his true identity in the months and years to come. Come on, somebody. We are in the end times. I said we are in the end times. Satan is fighting hard. That's why he's trying to confuse the gender identity of every child and every teenager. He wants to confuse them, and he wants to gain entrance to their minds so that he can control what they're thinking and what they're going to do. He wants to fully and completely possess them. Friends, you know, all you've got to do is go on Netflix. Netflix, just in case you don't know what that is, it's a streaming service where you can watch movies all the time. And you know what a lot of those movies are talking about today? They're talking about suicide. They're talking about evil things. Things that involve demonic spirits. That involve things that are very close to pornography. And what Satan is trying to do is to lure every child, every teenager, every young adult into thinking the way he thinks. How many know Satan thinks? Hello, someone. Satan thinks. He has a mind. And he wants this generation to think the way he thinks, in that corrupted, evil way. What should we do? How about nothing? No. Look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35. You know, you can't rent a movie today without cursing and swearing in it. I know, because I try. I try to find a movie, even PG. And somewhere, at some point in the movie, they use the Lord's name in vain, or they get into all kinds of other vulgar language to make everybody think that's how you're supposed to talk. Hello, someone. Is anyone with me this morning? It's the truth. Can't find nothing. Unless you want to watch reruns of the Hillbillies. How many remember the Hillbillies? The Beverly Hillbillies, that's right. Some of you young people, you don't know what I'm talking about. Hogan's Heroes. You know, I see no evil, whatever. Most of what is being portrayed today is evil, thank you. The wholesomeness is gone. The righteousness is gone. The truth of God's word has been eradicated out of our schools. Psalm 35 says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Verse 4, let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. This psalm falls into a category of prayers found in the Bible where the believer cries out to God for judgment on the enemies of his people and cries out for the defeat of the wicked. And there are times and seasons when we must pray that evil will cease and that justice will be done for the innocent. And all of you know what happened in Creston recently, where some children went to school and somebody didn't pay attention to what was going on, and some literature was placed into some young people's hands that talked about sexuality and taking drugs and all kinds of other diverse and perverse things. I mean, I made the CBC right here in Creston at the Erickson School. We need to cry out against the powers of darkness. We need to cry out for our children because, friends, if we don't, they're not going to make it. And I don't want to be in heaven without my children. I don't want to be in heaven without my grandchildren. Can somebody cry out to God this morning and say, I'm going to do everything I can do to pray against the forces of darkness? Amen. I think that would be the worst nightmare. To end up in heaven and my kids are nowhere to be found. Those who I have birthed into this world are nowhere to be found. And friends, not everybody's going to heaven. I don't care what anybody says, not everyone is going to heaven. But only those that have been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been born again of the Spirit of God and have a living relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everyone else is lost. And we have a job to do. Look at Jude, chapter 1, verse 22. See, I'm already done. And worrying doesn't change anything. Getting depressed about it doesn't change anything. We have to get on our knees and start praying. That's what's going to change things. That's what Satan hates, is a Christian, a believer, on their knees. Jude chapter 1 verse 22 says, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. You know what that tells me? Some people are so close to being consumed by the work of Satan that someone is going to have the guts to literally go in and snatch them out of the fire. Thank you, Jesus. We need Holy Spirit first responders. You know what a first responder is? It's someone who comes to the scene of an accident. They're the first ones there. They see all the blood and gore. They see all the mess. But someone has to go. When 911 is called, someone has to show up. And we need men and women of God that are not afraid to be exposed to the mess. But with the help and power of God, they're able to go in with the help of the Holy Spirit and see lives transformed and put back together again. Hallelujah. Snatching. That means, you know, snatch is, you're not staying in there long. You're just, you're just snatching them out. You're not staying there to get burnt by the fire. You're just going in and snatching them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is calling you to go in. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Believers who are spiritually equipped, listen to me now, with a heightened sense of urgency for the broken and oppressed. In the name of Jesus. Did you know that God will move on your behalf? Hallelujah. The sundial changed because somebody prayed. Hallelujah. Time was altered because somebody prayed. Hallelujah. Rain came and rain did not come because somebody prayed. God, listen to a human. Are you hearing me this morning? And change the clock of time. If God can do that, then He can listen to your prayer for your child. He can hear your prayer for your son or your daughter or your grandchild. And He will change and He will move on your behalf. You know why sometimes we don't pray for them? Because we think they're okay. God wouldn't send my kids to hell. God wouldn't send my kids to hell. Come on. Are you kidding me? You know there's going to be a lot of children that grew up in a Christian home in hell. Come on, it's the truth. They're going to be in hell, but they grew up in a Christian home. When I worked in the prison system in Toronto, I would go in to those detention centers and preach the gospel. And I'd say, where is John 3:16? Someone would put their hand up, one of the inmates. Where is this where someone would put their hand in? Immediately knew where that verse was. I said, how do they know where all these verses are? Because they grew up in Sunday school. A man murdered a police officer. He was there. In the meeting that I was conducting, he knew the verses. Why? Because he grew up in Sunday school. Because
time, they have to kneel before God and invite Jesus into their life. Come on, somebody. They have to make their own personal commitment to Jesus.
God's going to give us great wisdom on what to do when a crisis emerges. Father, I just pray this morning. Lord, as we come to the end of this service, I want to cover our children with prayer right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lift your hand right where you are. In the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I cover my children with prayer right now. In the name of Jesus, I take a stand against the forces of darkness that wants to have them. I claim a covering of the blood of Jesus Christ upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit will do that work. In their lives right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray a covering for our grandchildren this morning in the name of Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that if we have provided any opening for the enemy to enter in, that this very day we will close it up in the name of Jesus. Oh, can you shout amen, someone? Close it up. Close it up. Oh God. I pray this morning for every teenager, Lord. Every young adult, Lord. The enemy is attacking their minds. I pray in the name of Jesus. Something wonderful would happen in this valley and in this town, that we would see hundreds, maybe even thousands of children and young people ushered into the kingdom of heaven, that we would have a genuine Holy Spirit revival that would change hearts and lives forever, for eternity. In the name of Jesus, I command you, Satan, to take your filthy hands off of these schools and off of these children and teenagers in the name of Jesus. Oh God, just do that work in every heart, in every life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you stand in this place?